Okay, this is board time on Wednesday, 24 September at 2:30.
I got a question to ask Chris real quick. We had that meeting today on our work session. What's the difference between an urban holding and urban reserve?
Urban holding is an overlay of zoning that applies to property that's in the urban growth area. So it has an urban zoning designation, but lacks some kinds of facilities, whether it be road, sewer, or water. Traditionally, it's been sewer and water were the biggest issues. And because of the lack of that infrastructure, we said this is appropriately urban land, but it's on hold until we get the infrastructure that's necessary to allow it to really reach its potential. So we kind of keep it on hold. It's, as soon as somebody can remove those impediments, then it's ready to go.
And reserve?
And urban reserve is in the rural area, and so it's not in the urban growth area, and we lock it up because it's important land. Typically, we do it for industrial land. We'll mark it as industrial, urban reserve industrial. And what happens is the board's goal, this was your predecessors, but the board's goal has been to keep land from being prematurely divided so that once we get the same thing though, it's often tied to infrastructure, so that when it's brought into the urban growth area, we have this big chunk of land so that you can't really develop 2 acres of industrial. I mean, it's hard to find a business.
So reserve isn't necessarily in the urban growth boundary.
It is not in the urban growth boundary.
But the urban holding could
is. It not only could be, it is.
Yeah.
One is out and one's in. Urban reserve's inside the UGA, urban reserve is out.
Sorry about that, everybody. I just have been driving me crazy since this morning.
I'm glad you asked, because I appreciate that clarification myself.
I was concerned with Battleground's extension to Dollar's Corner, and I noticed that they had zoning on it, and so that helps.
Do you want me to take a motion?
Yes, please.
Chris Cook asked that I present to the board and request approval for a settlement of a claim between Community Services and Children's Home Society relating to the provision of respite care. And we've had some negotiations back and forth, and Children's Home Society has proposed to pay the county back $23,278.84. We've met with staff and reviewed the complexity of applying the standards for this respite care that is provided to the parents of people with mental disabilities, and we recommend that the board approve that settlement.
What was the amount again?
$23,278.84.
I appreciate what you have looked into. We don't believe that there's anything absconded off with this property or anything like that. It's just a bad record keeping, and they've been corrected with that. So I think I would really urge my counterparts to support this.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the offer, the settlement offer from Children's Home Society to pay $23,278.84 to Community Services.
Seconded.
Been moved and seconded to accept the offer. Any further discussion?
I agree with you in that they're a reputable outfit. They're a nonprofit organization that focused mainly on services and should have focused a little bit more on the documentation and bookkeeping and accounting. And so this is not to tarnish their name. This is to make it right.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Thank you very much.
Opposed.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Moving on to, we only have,
Parks facilities permit. We'll do that.
Yes. We received a letter from the Vancouver USA Regional Tourism Office, and they're asking the Board of County Commissioners to reconsider our policy regarding the use of alcohol in county parks. And They believe that that given the number of wineries and craft breweries in the county and the number of nonprofits that that could make beneficial use of beer gardens and wine tasting rooms and so on in our county parks during events, that that it would stimulate business and tourism. And so they therefore want us to liberalize our policy with regards to alcohol use.
Would this be on a one-by-one basis, and would it be limited?
It would be case by case, and Bill's here to, and Heath are here to address this.
Case at a time?
How controlled it would be.
A whole case?
Pardon me?
A whole case at
a
time?
Yeah, a case at a time. Yeah, 24 to a case.
So I guess what I'm going with that is it's more that we get, they get tickets and they get two drinks per person or something like that.
Right, yes.
That would be highly structured where we have an actual, like, a beer garden.
Yeah.
It's fenced. There's some pretty strong regulations with the, at the Washington State Liquor Control Board about having events like this on public property. And so it'd be fenced. They'd probably either get script or wristbands. There'd be security there. Mm-hmm. And probably somebody watching to see.
So it'd be somewhat limited. So
it would
get out of,
yes,
out of hand and
yes,
impede or somebody else is enjoying the park.
Right.
Yeah, it'd probably just be in the small section of the park itself.
Yeah, Commissioners, just recently you approved a specific request for an event at Captain William Clark Park, the Washougal event, with a stand-up surfboarding. And apparently it was a very successful event. There were alcohol, you know, beer was served. There were no incidents. We had law enforcement providing you know, oversight and so on. And you know, we have input from a number of folks here. We went to the county sheriff, we went to Eric Holmes at the city, Bill went to the parks ambassadors and to the parks advisory board, and he also went to Sherry Martin with the Parks Foundation. And I believe you have copies of the emails from those folks indicating support of the concept, provided that it's suitably controlled, monitored, so that we don't have
permitted legal.
Pardon me?
Permitted.
Yes.
All the permitted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we would know who's serving. Yep. We would know the control measures, and we would have to approve their plan.
Uh-huh.
And they'd also have to get a special use permit from the Liquor Control Board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they pay for any sheriff. If they need the sheriff, they'd have to pay for that, or they get that free.
The sheriff,
sir? Well, yeah, if you put on a thing down at Lower River Road down there and you got 1,000 people there, and are they going to be required to have
with
security
have
people
kind of security
in order
no,
to
that,
make
that
sure
won't be a requirement, but certainly if Vancouver Police Department knows that we have an event down there where alcohol is being served, they may choose to patrol that location.
I think we have event regulations of a certain size, we require officers there.
You're thinking of the winery.
We had that in the winery ordinance.
I can tell you how it works at Esher Shore Park with the city, and that they use off-duty police officers.
Well, look into it.
Act as security.
So we have the discretion of the person putting it on, that they're responsible for that control and limitations.
Right. We actually had an event at Vancouver Lake where they actually went to the Liquor Control Board, got a license, and then we told them can't do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which might have limited the attendance, might have reduced the revenue they were able to collect, and so
we've been approached by several corporations that have wanted to have that activity in the parks, and of course we've had to say no to
them. And the whole thing is that these nonprofits, you know, if it's craft beers, if it's wineries, they do not want to have obnoxious behavior. Mm-hmm. They don't want the police to have to come to restore order.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in their best interest to put together a security plan so that they, you know, they don't serve to anyone under 21. They don't serve one person 12 drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so they keep things controlled.
I'd kind of like to have Bill doing that, you know. That Bill would go to them, in your permit, you are responsible for this and this. You
yes.
make it up so it would be
and
a safety
at the state
band.
Level, there's actually a lot of requirements already.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to take a hard look at that, and if we have to devise more rules that are specific to the county, we can do that.
Yeah. Mark, you did very, very well to go out and get all these written feedbacks from our Parks Advisory Board, from the Parks Ambassadors, Vancouver Police, Clark County Sheriff, I don't know if anybody else. All the stakeholders in each one of these things, and they've all considered given us feedback, what could potentially, what bases need to be covered, and they're all basically with one person being just simply, you got to have a token opponent here, having some reservations, all the rest of them being supportive of it. Those are the stakeholders. I don't know of any other process that if there be any others that ought to be included in that. But looking at who would be using it, who would be benefited, who would be responsible for it, those are public parks. Mm-hmm. And as long as these bases are covered, where they list out the responsibilities, the costs, all of the measures that were already modeled at the Washougal event, as long as we have a process like that, I'm supportive of it. In addition, if what we don't want to do is have the public somehow subsidize that, whatever fees would be involved ought to cover any extra expenses that these events would incur, and really make sure that those measures that are all listed out here and anything else you can think of would be covered. I would think that before it actually goes into effect, that you would propose here's exactly how it would work, make sure it's really clear, go back to all those same stakeholders and allow them any feedback to refine it, and then adopt it, or bring it forward to adopt it at that point.
We did discuss also the insurance coverage, just to make sure that they have that endorsement. They have to have an alcohol endorsement on there, and then mm-hmm. We would be listed as an additional insured. And in this case, where normally we accept a $1 million policy, I think this would be a good idea where we get a $2 million policy.
How much would a 1 day or 2 day policy like that cost, just so that we
pretty
don't
cheap. A few hundred bucks at most.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I would add is that I'd suggest, given this is a significant departure from our current practice, we ought to amend the code, because mm-hmm. we want to be able to impose standards, and if we don't have it in our code, and somebody mm-hmm. comes in and says no, mm-hmm. we don't have anything to back mm-hmm. it up with other than this meeting. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to lay out what mm-hmm. we need. And quite frankly, you want to make it sufficiently flexible that if you have bigger or more mm-hmm. challenging events, mm-hmm. you can set conditions appropriate to those events. So mm-hmm. if we don't need them, we don't maybe need to use them, but to the extent you need them, you want to yeah. make sure that they're tailored, or we can tailor yeah. them to the particular needs of the development.
And sure. this is all in Chapter 9.
Correct.
Of our code, which needs to be amended anyway to take out some of the stuff and refine that. So would it make sense for us to let this be a inclusive revamp? Yeah, that's the word for it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The code actually does allow for it if we permit it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it already allows
it? Does.
Does it have conditions?
No.
Okay, that's what I was...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Mark, and you're going to have your input on that as well, and make sure all the bases are
covered. Yeah, I'll make sure we're...
And we've got 7 years of experience out at the county fair.
True.
We started a beer garden mm-hmm. out there
about
in 2007, and
yeah.
we know what the control measures that are effective. Mm-hmm.
It's been incident-free.
Pardon?
Yeah.
It's been incident-free so far.
Yeah.
It really has, yeah.
Yeah.
I know
okay,
with the...
go ahead. Ultimately, what we need is the permission
right.
from the board to
right.
move forward.
So
with
I'm happy with it. I make a motion to approve it as long as you cross all the T's, you dot all the I's, make sure that everybody gets a copy of the rules and regulations, mm-hmm. that they all follow through with it, and I'm quite sure that you guys are going to do that legally,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm not an alcohol person. If I had my way, I'd dump it all in the river. But I know that that's not the way it works.
You couldn't catch the salmon.
So in order to show that I am impartial, I will make the motion that we approve it.
Let me refine your motion there, that we could approve moving forward with a draft to propose the code. And I second that motion.
Let me further here. I don't think we have to propose the code. We already have authority to adjust to allow it. We just have to rewrite it. Is that right?
We can allow it through permit.
Yeah. Well, Chris is suggesting that for enforceability purposes that we have language in the code that specifies the requirements.
Yeah, you want to be able to have conditions that you can impose and enforce.
Yeah.
And the problem will be if we don't have any conditions, it's just yes or no, you're going to have problems with people saying, why do I have to do it when he didn't have to do it?
Cool. Right.
And you want to treat them, be able to treat more complicated, bigger, you know, smaller, bigger develop or bigger, you know, events on smaller sites. You're going to have to regulate them differently than you would if you have a bigger, that same size event at Louisville or Vancouver Lake.
Do we have to bring it back on the consent agenda then?
Well, no. Actually, an amendment to the code requires a public hearing under Title IX. So if we want to correct any issues with regard to the special events, we could take care of it all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure. And I would think that that this would also include the category or what parks basically would fall into that, because we don't want these kind of things that would to go into the little neighborhood
right.
parks or that kind of thing. So you're going to include all that.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So that's great. Because
yeah.
You got what you need.
Got it.
Yeah.
Great. Call
okay.
for the question.
Right. Oh, we didn't vote
call for the question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 That's David's thing. So do we have any minutes to approve today? I don't have any in my packet.
That's the way it works under Robert's rules.
We don't do Robert's here. We don't let Robert's in here.
I'll go check on that, Commissioner.
Okay.
Okay, Bill, that's it for you then.
Okay,
thanks for coming.
Thank you, sir.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good job.
All right.
Did all the work for us.
I'm going to put John in front. Okay?
Thanks so much.
Okay.
John Payne, Deputy Treasurer, he was not on the agenda, but he's got some good news. I wanted him to come and share that good news with the
good
board.
Good news, we'll put him on the agenda, right?
You can bring new good news anytime you want, John.
Where's the balloons?
You know, we issued our, we settled on our bond sale, refunding the golf course for about $5 million and the community health building for another about $5 million. If you want late night reading, I can send you this. This is the official statement that is out there backing these securities that have been sold. The securities sold actually for a net present value savings of 2.21%. The golf course, because it has an earlier call and also has a new call provision on it of 5 years, so in 5 years we can call these taxable bonds. Actually had a present value savings of nearly 5.46%.
Whoa.
However, the health building, because it had a longer call and the maturities go out longer, had a negative cost, where it cost us money to do this, of 1.27%. So on a gross basis, we saved $254,502 on the golf course.
Total, or is that annually, or what?
That's the net. That's the net. We saved on the golf course total dollars of $357,066. That's over
the term
now, 2027.
So maturity.
And we increased our cost at the health building through 2035 by $102,564. Now, these are both general fund obligations, so we can transfer some of the savings that we had on the golf course to offset the cost that we incurred on the health department, therefore nobody's rent will go up. But what normally we don't do a refunding for any savings that's less than 3% net present value. I told you this is only 2.26. That was not the reason for the refunding. The reason for the refunding was to create flexibility. The flexibility we bought on the golf course is Mark now has the wherewithal to go renegotiate that with Billy Casper, and it does the setup of what we plan down the road. The health building, we freed up more space by issuing taxable bonds. The Veterans Administration has expressed some interest in leasing more space. and we have a limited amount because of them being originally tax-exempt bonds. And the Veterans Administration, under federal law, is a private activity, not a tax-exempt activity like we are. So we've bought ourselves some more space. We have Bill Tonkin right now doing a reallocation of how much this has freed up for us. so we'll know for sure what additional flexibility we bought. But I'd like to really thank Mark, Jeff Swanson, Larry Free, Chris Horn, Mark Gassaway, and Bob Stevens. We made a presentation to Moody's, and Moody's was very happy with this because they maintained our rating at AA2, and for unlimited, which these are not unlimited because that's voted, we're AA1, which if you compare us to the S&P rating, we're the same as the federal government.
I'm not sure that's a compliment.
Yeah, we're going to live it up to that point.
The net present value SIG was also incorporates all the expenses that we had on it. Mm-hmm. So all expenses are coming out of that, but 2.2% is a present value SIG.
So we've made a lot of money there, and we also have increased our flexibility for future plans.
Yep, and you know, John's really gracious about sharing credit, but both of these were his idea.
I know.
Great leadership on John's part.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job.
I just
keep making us look like heroes.
If the Veterans Administration, and who's the other end over there at the health building, if they do any construction over there, I hope that they're going to take care of the parking.
Oh,
and not have more customers and with the
they're gonna build a building.
I don't know
parking lot.
That's outside his box.
Yeah, thanks.
Actually,
in a lot of cases, it would have been cheaper just to bulldoze that building down than
We still owe on it.
Yeah, I know. It'd be cheaper.
Well, you know.
Yeah, pay it off.
Kingdom was imploded. With $75 million of debt on it.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
So
just for your information.
Yeah. So regarding parking, CMAR is the activity that is looking at pulling out. They have the health clinic and the WIC program, both of which are very client heavy.
Yeah.
Lots of parking required to support those two activities. If they pull out and the VA takes their place, what we'll have is employees parking, but no coming and going by clients.
Really?
So that that'll dramatically reduce the demand for parking. Well,
that
it won't eliminate the problem, but it'll certainly make it
better. Great. Okay.
Picking up more and more things on our consent agenda here, or on our business thing here. So I guess Heath is up next.
He is.
Yeah, we have good news, too.
Oh, come on in.
I wish I would have brought some.
Make you look bad, Mark.
I know.
Yeah, we want to avert a disaster before it happens, potentially, here. Actually, we have a culvert that's failing out near Yakult on Falls Road, and this is something. We noticed that it wasn't in real good shape earlier this year, and really the big concern is the pace at which it's degraded since we've seen it. We've recently looked at it again. Had multiple people look at it. We even had DNR contact us with a concern because they've been driving over it, that the road's settling. We sent some folks out, and we really feel like it's 50-50 whether it'll make it. So we think potentially an imminent danger of this thing blowing out. And what we'd like to do is try to avoid another. We had an issue with Charity Road last year where we lost a whole section of road. And there's about, behind this area, there's about 10 to 12 homes with really no other way in and out. So what we'd like to do here is we're asking, because we believe it's an imminent threat that this could go out once the heavy rains come, mm-hmm. is if we're asking to approve a declaration of emergency, which the primary thing that helps us with in this situation is exempts us from the bidding requirements. Mm-hmm. So we can actually go work directly with a contractor out there. We've already been in touch with a couple of our local contractors mm-hmm. to check in about their availability. We've also been checking in on, are the materials actually available out there? So there's been a lot of pre-work that's happened just over the last week, and I thank Bill Wright for really kind of taking the lead on that. So what this would basically do is allow us to proceed to the next step, and we've been working with the permitting agencies to hopefully have everything in line. And this would be, move it forward, we'll end up, you know, we can end up planning to close the road for a short period of time, hopefully here next month.
Next month. Yeah. We'd like to have it buttoned up by the end of October.
Great.
I think that's possible, weather permitting.
So in order for that to happen, you want us to be able to make a decision today to give you the green light to do that?
That would be, you know, initially we'd intended to bring it to consent next week, but I think we talked with Chris, and we have an actual staff report here ready to go.
Okay, great.
Dated today that we can, if you're willing to move forward and approve that, then
sure.
It gives us another week to accelerate things.
Have you got the wording for the motion here?
Basically, the request is to approve a declaration of emergency for Falls Road culvert repair.
Okay.
For the purpose of exactly.
Go ahead. There.
I need two dots.
Okay. So, just to properly make the motion here, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the declaration of emergency for the Falls Road emergency repair. As proposed.
Seconded.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Sounds good.
Good job.
I think I need to get
it's amazing.
Yeah, we.
Huh? We have an original here. Did you need to
sign? We can sign that now.
Yeah, I'll sign it. We changed the date. As a form. Okay. Sure.
I am curious. When you say the culvert is failing, does that mean that the water is leaking around it?
Collapse,
the road's collapsed.
There's a couple problems, right?
Yeah. It's squished horizontally and vertically. Water's flowing on the outside of the culvert.
So it's doing two things.
So it's going to wash away the road bed.
You know, as water washes around it, it washes material away, which causes it to settle more. And it's also, because it's collapsing, it's also failing, so it can't. It allows more water to back up behind it, so it's kind of a double problem.
Yeah, it's a life safety issue.
And the last time we had a big one of these, an entire car went in.
Yes.
Well,
that was the policeman.
It was. Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
That was up in our neck of the woods in North Carolina.
Well, that Charity Creek one that washed out,
Mr. Milton,
all the way up to the road, 20 feet wide. Yeah. And anybody could have drove into that in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Should this blow, it'll probably take the next culvert downstream. I don't remember the name of that road, but it's not just this road that's in jeopardy. There's that whole area kind of east and south of Yonkers.
Oh, because that wall of water.
He says 50-50, but I wouldn't put $20 on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So glad you're quick to respond to get her done. Do I need to sign that too? Or you got it? Is that just you?
Okay.
One on that.
And then we have one other one, actually, which is also, I think in our mind, a good news scenario too, is we have a development on 13th Avenue, which is highway between, I guess it'd be 63rd Street, 78th and 88th. And there's a development in there. They're doing some work and they're repairing some of the road in that area. And they need to actually close that road for about a month, but 23 working days, beginning of October to the end of October. And they've already contacted the neighbors, and they've got ways for them to get in and out. So basically, it's an authorization to close that section of road for a period of time. Whilst they're basically, I believe there's some vertical curves.
Yeah, they're actually, it's going to be a good deal for all of us because it's lining up.
We bought a lot, or we're buying a lot there on that vertical curve.
No,
not the same road.
This is a different one. This is a development, and we've been working with them on this particular road that has some vertical curves. They're going to flatten it out, which means they need to lower the utilities that are in the road. And really, the only reasonable way to do it is to close the road. And there's not a lot of traffic on it right now, and some folks can go to the north or to the south.
Good. So is that an emergency service or emergency declaration today too?
This is an emergency. This was for a consent item in that. I think we can. This one we were planning to bring to you next week. This one today?
Provide notice.
Well, part of the reason that we are bringing it up now is that they can. There is requirements for notice. They need to, per an RCW, and so basically they need to have. They could have the date of the road closures and signage up 3 days prior.
Okay. So we can authorize all the preparations for it, and then finalize the completion of it on.
I would think so.
Sure. Tuesday. Next Tuesday. Yeah. Okay. And then we can give notice today.
Right.
We can comply with all the county codes.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So just wanted to bring that to your attention. It is a good deal for everybody.
So you would like the authorization for the preparation today?
Yeah.
So propose the wording here for the motion here.
I would say to approve the preparation of the temporary road closure of the segment on Northeast 13th Avenue.
Including
the 8th and 99th.
And including notice to the occupants or the occupants in the area.
Okay. And since it's on recording here, that's the motion I adopt.
I second it.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good move.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for staying on top of things.
One other thing that, Bill, could you explain to the board the leftover funding for SCIP and how you cleverly got permission to reassign that?
Sure. Long story short, we borrowed about $21 million in trust fund and three trust fund loans for the SCIP project based on the costs of early on in the project.
Remind us, what is the SCIP
Salmon
project?
Salmon Creek Interchange.
Salmon Creek
Interchange. Oh, okay.
That's the 139th Street bridge.
Okay, the one we just celebrated.
Yep.
Exactly. And this was 0.5% loan money. But the project came in quite a bit below budget, so we had it's about $4.75 million of loan capacity we didn't have to draw on to close out the project. And we were afraid that we'd have to forsake that. I mean, this is like the goose that laid the golden egg and having to turn the golden egg back. But we met with the trust fund staff on Monday, and they said that we could do other projects within the area related to Salmon Creek Interchange in the same corridors, like Northeast 10th Avenue.
Ooh, baby.
And so we intend to do that with your approval. This goes a long way to helping us with that project.
Yeah.
Because last year we thought we had a loan on the project, and that was swept away by the governor and the legislature. Mm-hmm.
Right. We were looking for a breakthrough to finish that project or to move that part of the project off, and this sounds like it's
definitely helpful.
Yes.
And then we have the $7 million PWTF loan that looks like it might be...
Well, again, it has to go through the legislature.
Right.
And if they sweep the funds again, which is entirely possible, we may not get that. But if we do get it, it's at 2.25%. So the 0.5% money is gone. The little bit we saved of that, we can apply to 10th Avenue and preserve that. But from now on, it's going to be a higher percentage gain to borrow money.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I just can't say over and over again how proud we are and what talented people we have in the county. And you just prove it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to make this board look good. And once again, it's the staff that's doing it. We really appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great work.
Mm-hmm.
Does he need approval to...
No, I mean, that's already been authorized.
You already have the freedom, right?
Authorized by the state.
Cool.
Right.
Sorry, we don't have to make a motion.
Oh.
Yeah, it's on the recording.
I win that one. All right.
Okay.
Next up.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Then you're done.
Okay.
Okay, we're on to commissioner reports.
Commissioner report, Mr. Barnes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, over the last month and a half, there have been proposals for a couple resolutions to hope to get on the consent agenda. One that David proposed for a bi-state resolution, which I've told him that I support. And I would like to see the commission put on the consent agenda the resolution I put forward to thank all the folks that worked on Plum River Crossing. We continue to have programs thanking the staff in here just now. Yesterday, on Tuesday, thanking all the employees by giving them $20 and $50 checks for, and everybody didn't get a check, but the staff, and we continue to promote thank yous to the park people and everything. And I think 17 years worth of of hard work by a lot of good people, a lot of public citizens and that deserve to get a little recognition. And like I say, I know that there's been some comments made by an individual at the last couple meetings that the commission has conducted, which I'm not going to say the person is lying, but I know that there is a person working right here in this, works with this, everybody in this room on a continual basis that can verify just exactly what I've said about this resolution and that. And David has also said on the record at the commission meetings that he does not allow people to put stuff on his negative stuff. And David took me to heart when I asked him if he would write a separate resolution, which I think is a good resolution, because it didn't actually fit in this thank you resolution. And I don't want to see folks' names attached to this resolution that might cause heartburn for a whole lot of good people that worked a whole lot of time on this thing. And I'm trying to get some fences mended where, regardless of what happens with the East County Bridge, West County Bridge, whatever, at some point in time, these people have to come on board. The list of names that I give you, David, and Tom got a copy of that shows all the participants that are necessary for you to have your project go forward. And all I'm saying is that I think that it's time that we let these people know that we thank them for their effort. And originally, David sent Mark to me and said, here's two changes that David would like to make, otherwise everything is okay. I looked at those, and one of them was a whereas that was a bi-state, and the other one was a Section 5, which was bi-state. And I told David that didn't fit. He wrote his resolution up that, and I think it's a good resolution. But I do think that it's time that we let all these people know that worked so hard for this effort that we need to say thank you, just like we say thank you to all the staff here. Thank you to State Department of Transportation on the project out there at Salmon Creek. We just had everybody out there clipping the ribbons and that, and everybody getting a pat on the back, legislators and them that didn't even have anything to do with that project at the time. But they were out there getting their credit for it, sitting in the chair, which is fine and dandy. But again, these folks on this list are people that had something to do with it. It took me over 3 months to go back and do a lot of research in order to end up with those folks' name on there, which gives you an opportunity, David, to see the people that are necessary to be have your project go forward or any other project across the Columbia River go forward. So anyway, I'm asking the board to allow this to go on the consent agenda and get it out there to the public, get people, let them know that we're now in a mode of thanking people for what they do and what they've done. And again, I'm not going to attach people's name to something that I know that continually beat it to death for a whole lot of years. And like I say, there's an individual that's worked here in this department that knows all about just exactly what took place and when it took place. And for one instance, it was said that Sam Adams didn't approve Thunder River Crossing, which is not true, because I was at the city council with the labor movement when they were there the day that the Portland City Council voted unanimously to support Columbia River Crossing. And that's just for one instance. So I'm not going to start nitpicking whatever this person said, but I do have proof from somebody that was involved that represented a major industrial customer both in Oregon and Washington that now works for the department here that was involved heavily in a lot of the discussion that took place. And he come to me after the lady made her comments and said, that's not the truth. What she said is not truthful. So I'm just telling you that I think we need to get over that, David and Tom, and we need to go forward. And I'm asking you to do it through the consent agenda just like we do other ones. Carry your resolution forward too at the same time. And let's get the word out there that Clark County is here to get something done.
So, Ed, you know that I'm always at the forefront giving people credit when credit's due. Yep. And recognizing people that are part of groups or whatever. Yep. And when I saw these here a week or two ago, what came to mind was dueling resolutions. And I confronted David about that at the time, and he said, no, there's nothing in there that is promoting the East Side Bridge. But, you know, my personal feeling is that we need to get over it and move on. But what I see today is this is still very, very controversial. It is not put to bed by a long ways, and I think you know that. And if it was, C-TRAN board and the city of Vancouver wouldn't be hanging on to the TriMet contract the way they have been, and they would get on and move on, and they haven't done that. And I don't think that in our position here that we need to spend any more of our time dueling over C-TRAN's project. And by the way, that East Side Bridge is not the county's project. It's not my project. It's certainly not David's, because we're not involved other than representing people saying, here's an option, do you support it? And if you do, go tell your legislators to go do it. I have been in opposition to the I-5 crossing since 1998. In 1996, the Oregon side started promoting the light rail.
No, they didn't, Tom. I disagree.
Yeah, I got records of Pride Moore on the committee promoting that in 1996. And they ignored the legislature in both Oregon and Washington when they said that they were tasked with finding a new corridor. And that's what's made it so controversial. Even as early as yesterday at noon at the chamber at Woodland, there was some words exchanged between myself and Mr. Pridemore in his passing legislation to keep a vote of the people delayed for 2 years on the project. And I think the best way to get through this is to let it lie down and disappear. It's not gone. There's still hard feelings. There's still people in elected offices and elections carrying the candle on this stuff. And I think that somewhere we as Clark County commissioners who don't build state roads need to step out of this, because, like I said, I was involved in 1998, and when I left in 2004, I was part of the Economic Transportation Alliance, and so I've got history with how it was done and the way it was done, and I don't think that it is all in good faith. And so if it's been done more in good faith and listening to the people the way it should be, I would probably say yes. But I think there's still a lot out there that's not settled. And the proof of that settling would be when C-TRAN dismisses the $5 million contract holding, standing over the heads of C-TRAN taxpayers. And I would say that, when that happens, I would probably be there and say now's the time to bury the hatchet. But there's people on both sides of the issue, and I don't want to recognize a whole bunch of names on one side and not recognize all the people that worked on this since 1998 on the other. So I think when we are ready to go forward with the resolution of burying the hatchet, that we're probably best to recognize and thank those people as a as a group rather than as individuals.
What happened to all this goodwill that David keeps preaching? What happened? Wait a minute, Tom. Hmm? You had your say. I'm going to have mine. All this goodwill that happened, that wasn't a C-Tran bridge. C-Tran had nothing to do with that bridge. Light rail was not in that bridge at all until about 1990, I would say about 1996, and I can go back and get you because I co-chaired the I-5 partnership study at that time, and in 2000, if you go back, you'll see in 2000, the city of Portland, because Royce Pollard wanted a bridge to bridge the city of Vancouver together, Portland decided that they wanted light rail. You go back and check all these facts. C-Tran, light rail had nothing to do with that bridge at the time whatsoever. That $850 million request come later. I sat on the Transportation Commission from 95 to 2007. I went through all this stuff that has to do with both the nickel package and the 9.5 cent package, which, Tom, you never supported. I can list the people that never supported any of those packages, that all this money that's been coming down here for these transportation projects that we've been building all over Clark County. I can name the people, including Senator Benton, that went on the ballot measure with Tim Imons to repeal the 9.5 cent package, which we're taking credit for now. We're cutting the ribbons. We're hurrah and hurraying for all this stuff. At some point in time, Tom and David, the hatchet has to get buried, and I'm going back on the fact that David looked at this resolution and said the resolution was good. All he wanted was the two changes. I explained to him about the two changes. If David doesn't want to let people go on his Facebook website because they might make negative comments about business of this county commission that he puts on there, requesting that they put their feedback on it, then why would I add your name, Tom, when you just admitted from 1996 on you've opposed the bridge completely in its entirety? Why would I add your name to something that's supposed to be a positive thing? Why, David? Tell me. Why would you do that? Why would you put any Peterson? Why would you put any of these people? And I got the list of the names right here. There's no reason. There would be no reason to do that. And like I say, David wants goodwill, you want accountability, you want credibility, you want all these different things that he put in his resolution that's on the website, the county website, and that's been running on there since, what, for the last 2 years, David, when it was passed in there by the county commission to put that thing on the website about how we're all going to work together as brothers and sisters and everything is going to be great. And then we turned around, I tried to propose something, and the part that Tom, that gets me is, I'm proposing a resolution. I can't get it out of here on a consent agenda. But David can write resolutions and walk in my door and say, here's the resolution. I want you to sign on board this thing. And then when I say to him, I haven't even had a chance to read it, he said, I got two votes already. You're up in Montana at the coal fields up there, for God's sake.
Utah.
So how could he get, or Tom, how could he...
Wyoming.
How could he have two votes when we weren't here to have a vote? We agreed the week before there'd be nothing discussed on this until you got back in town. And then he comes in there the same way with the East County Bridge, the same way with the one that had a couple, two or three other resolutions that come forth, that Jamie Herrera wrote a letter supporting a resolution. I just think that you know, if we're going to have a partnership, we're going to work together as commissioners. And I've tried to do that with you guys in a whole lot of cases. Last week, I sucked up to one thing that I promised myself that I've never done. I'd always read something to see where it was at legally before I voted for it. I didn't do that last week. I went and voted for a motion in here that I didn't want to vote for, but
what
I did.
What was that?
It's the... I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It is, I voted for it, but there's been several things that I've had to suck up and that maybe I didn't think was right, because I've been trying to do what I was right for the taxpayers of this community. And one of the things that I think is right is to let people know how much we appreciate
the 17 years of work that these folks did. And they're not all political leaders. A lot of these people are citizens that are off of the street. They're school teachers. They're firemen. They're neighborhood association neighborhood association people. You know, they're not people that spent their nights and their weekends involved in it, in this program here. And like I say, if David, you guys ever want to get these people on board and to support anything that you want to do when it comes to whether, no matter which bridge, upriver, downriver, whatever the bridge is, you're going to have to make some accommodation to say, bygones are bygones, let's get on with it. And no, that, what I'm hearing, Tom, from you is that you want to hold a grudge forever.
Against the city. It sounds to me like you're holding the grudge forever. I got to set the record straight. 8 years I sat on transportation in the state, and for 8 years I drove projects down here to the 18th district.
But you didn't put any money into it, Tom. We asked for reforms.
We still don't have reforms from the transportation department. And those reforms would have given more money than the nickel package or the 9.5 cent package, and it's business as usual.
Let me finish. I didn't interrupt you.
And for all 8 years, I drove those down here, and because I didn't support different packages, I had politically projects pulled away from me by your governors. And I've had at least two projects, and the interchange on 219th was delayed until the cost was something like $60 million, and it started off at $37 million. So don't tell me about politics and what's been held and what I don't support. I kept those things on the agenda through the Transportation Committee, and that's where they come from. I was 2 years as vice chair of that committee, too, and all our projects were there. So just because I don't support the taxing foundation of it, I support it another fashion, which would just as much pay for it the other way. It wasn't accepted. So we still voted for the projects, but rejected the funding mechanism.
So there's a whole lot different, Tom. I thought a majority exposed the rule in the legislature, regardless of whether. And at the time these packages were passed, Karen Schmidt was chairman of the House Transportation. Jim Horn was the chair of the Senate Transportation, which was Republicans. So if your package, didn't even support your own Republican Party that pushed these packages forward, that I helped write. The 9.5 cent gasoline tax package with Jim Horn, and went to the Republican caucus up there to promote this, and got the majority of the Republicans that supported it because they felt it was necessary to have this done. So if you look at all these projects down here, whether it's 502 to Battleground, whether it's work on the SR 500, whether it's money on the interchange, go back and look and see when those things were proposed. The commission used to propose all of the projects. We used to put the budget together and then take it over to you guys, the legislature, and say, this is what we need to have the package done. Christine got in a fight with Doug McDonald and stripped the power away from the commission, and that's why nothing's getting done in the way of transportation now, because they made a political football out of it.
No.
But all I'm saying is, Tom, I'm asking you folks here, both you commissioners, as partners, that you support my resolution, and I want to support David's for a bi-state resolution. It has nothing to do with dueling resolutions whatsoever.
I think that history is what it is. I'm looking at where we're going for the future, and we're not there yet. Okay. We're not there yet. We, like I said, as early as yesterday, there was conversation, dispute, and disagreement about it, And you're still blaming me for not voting for more gas taxes, and that's like me trying to blame you for not going with the reform packages. I haven't
done
that.
Then don't come out and have people put up signs on 502 saying, thank you, Tom, for this project, like they did out there when they cut the ribbons on that project.
They probably could have saved $20 million had they done it before the Democrat governor removed the project.
So,
were there. You know how that works.
I know how it
all
works.
So don't go back and do
but
that.
If I didn't want it, if I didn't support it, I would have stripped
it from the project list, and I didn't do that. I drove it forward.
But but all
so
of
we need to get over that and yeah. stop pointing fingers and saying we didn't support those projects when in fact we did. We supported the project. We didn't support the funding of that, and that's where we are. And I'd like to, and the same thing with this. This is not it. Why are we making action like this? Probably should be C-TRAN. C-TRAN should be doing this.
C-TRAN wasn't building the bridge, Tom. You guys got C-TRAN on the brain. Like forget about C-TRAN. C-TRAN is a bus system that has nothing to do with that
bridge
whatsoever.
They contributed money to light rail.
Nothing to do with that. I'll get all the facts and figures and show you that light rail wasn't entered into that until after 2000.
Oregon
In fact,
Supreme
read
Court.
Any of the articles
the
out
Oregon
of
Supreme
paper.
Court proved that light rail came before the bridge did.
So, anyway.
Let me just respond here a little bit, and I certainly want, with all respect, I understand that we all need to work together with goodwill. You covered a lot of territory there, and I just want to go over a couple of things and clear things up. I don't know what impression you got regarding some predetermined two votes, but there is nothing to that. We make policy. And we make agreements in public meetings like this. So there are certainly no predetermined two votes on anything. When it comes to the standards of civility and standards of decency on my Facebook page, I think it's important that as if we are going to promote goodwill, that we uphold decency and standards of decency and civility in our communications. And that is goodwill means you promote what's good, but you also oppose what undermines that. So I will continue to uphold those standards on my communications with my neighbors. When it comes to the goodwill resolution, I have withdrawn that because I recognize that you don't accomplish goodwill by passing a public resolution. You build goodwill by meeting people face-to-face and by one-on-one relationship building. So that's the responsibility that we all have to accomplish things that way. When it comes to anything that we take on to move our community forward, it has to bypass all of the politics and the partisanship, and it really needs to be about, as office holders, representing the people and working with goodwill there, just because everybody wins when that happens. It's not a deal-making kind of a thing where you give me a little bit of this, it'll give you a little bit of that. It's really problem-solving and fulfilling our responsibility as to faithfully represent all of those people that are looking to us to move our community forward and overlook our differences. So with that, I extend goodwill to you, and I look forward to us working together on whatever projects are going that are needed, transportation projects to move us forward.
Well, you know, David, if you would have felt that way last week, when Tom come back and removed your resolution off the consent agenda, you put it on there without having his vote or without having my vote. So I don't know where the goodwill that you're talking about. I just, like I say, I'm trying to do what I think will help create the goodwill that you'd like to see out there. So when you meet people, they're not begrudging the fact that that David Bedore was one of the ones that helped kill the light rail, help kill the bridge, put tolls on it as the number one issue on that bridge. And that's not what this resolution is to say. The same thing as we said Tuesday to all of those workers in here that represented 1,500 county workers, but you only give rewards to what, 30? Something like that?
Thereabouts.
And so the other ones that you have, when you give awards, everybody, you're not going to be able to hand everybody an award. But the feel-good thing of all these people that worked so long and so hard on this thing, and like you said, you just made the statement for me, you don't put people stuff on your Facebook
that put negative comments, that do negative things towards your project or what you're trying to accomplish. So why would I put them on this resolution when everybody out there knows where they were at? And like I told you before, my credibility, that you told me how credible I was and all that, David said, just like we're sitting now, that would go right out the window. Everybody would no longer have any faith in what Ed Barnes says in that. And I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. So, you know, you guys vote to do whatever you want. You can say, no, it's not going to go on the consent agenda. But I will be able to thank the public, thank these 1,500 people. Maybe I'll have to go under public comments next week. And it's Ed Barnes, and I'm Ed Barnes. I live at 4009 Northeast 50th Avenue. And I'll circulate these resolutions in there, and not as a commissioner, because you've basically told me I don't count. That's what you basically told me, Dave.
That's what I was for 4 years, so, my first term.
But again,
in
like
the minority,
I'm just telling you where I stand, guys, and I'm trying to do it the right way, through the right process, and that. But you're not giving me the opportunity to do that, and. If I would have accepted those resolutions that David put on here, the things that he wanted on there originally, this would have already been out there on the floor and passed.
It's important that I removed the resolution from the agenda and then went and told David I had removed it and explained to him at that time that I didn't think it was working, that it became dueling resolutions. Yeah. And on your resolution, you wanted to recognize everybody that promoted it. On his resolution, he was trying to recognize all the people that opposed it, when in fact we could look at the maps and the way people voted for it. Very, very geographically, and one-tenth of the people supported it.
But, Tom, there's nothing dueling. I agreed. I'm not dueling about his resolution. No. I say resolution, I read it, took it home and read it over the weekend, went to sleep. Got up and read it again on Sunday, come in here and told you it was a resolution that I could support wholeheartedly. So that's not dueling. His resolution was completely different than mine. So to use the word dueling resolution, it doesn't even make good sense.
Well, I would like to thank all those voters that voted no against the CRC project. And I don't have the list of their names. But those would be, that would be the list that would have been on Commissioner Medora's list. And your list was
like
all
I
those
say,
people.
Like I say, I could vote for his resolution. He votes for mine. I'll vote 100% for David's resolution.
I can't support David's, and I can't support yours. The premature and incomplete. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
anyway,
if you're going to do something, you need to do it right. And I think to do it right would be to go to CTRAN and say, CTRAN, let's remove the $5 million hammer over the Clark County's head. And then we'll come back and say, okay, let's start over together. But see, it's not going that way, and I think you know that.
No, I don't. I don't believe that Tom CTRAN.
CTRAN, you voted to keep that resolution there.
CTRAN has nothing to do with this resolution. It isn't even mentioned in here. It isn't even mentioned in this resolution. Nothing that has
C-Tran
any connection to CTRAN.
CTRAN has to do with light rail. They've been supporting light rail financially. And with their votes.
We weren't supporting it because the federal government was giving you $850 million to build it.
For light rail.
The federal government.
Not nothing for the bridge.
$400 million for the bridge the federal government gave.
No, there was nothing from the bridge.
No, $400 million from the feds, $850 million.
From
$450 from Oregon, $450. I put that package together. I know what was there.
If I can respond just a little bit. It may have started out, in fact, it did start out, so that the Federal Highway Administration at the beginning of the project was supposed to fund to build a bridge. That went away. We ended up with nothing but light rail funds for that. Federal Transit Administration was there. As I posted the documentation that just showed the final form of that. The second thing is that CTRAN, along with RTC, were signatory agencies. They're the ones that signed the contract with TriMet for light rail, and I hope that we'll be able to get out from under that. The third is that I want to make sure that the wrong message doesn't get communicated, because you brought it up a number of times, and I'd rather just that we just simply stay on one topic and don't keep bringing up my Facebook, because you've implied that I only let people post on my Facebook page that agree with me. That is certainly not the case. I welcome dissent. It's very important that we inform ourselves of alternate points of view. That's how we gain insight and understanding. But I also need to make sure that standards of decency and civility are upheld, and anyone that either defends those that violate that or defend ill will, I don't I'll give them a platform on my own Facebook page, because it undermines what we want to, it undermines our health as a community. So certainly dissent is welcome, but ill will and those that subscribe to groups that promote ill will are not welcome. So that's the sorter outer. And that's regardless of the kind of content. If there is a group that promotes malice and ill will, I actively oppose anyone, any group that would undermine us as a community to work together with goodwill. So the love of good includes the opposition of evil. Good and decency says, well, if it's going to promote the opposite, I won't give them a platform. They're welcome, and I will defend their right to be able to have their own platform elsewhere. But that is something that, in my own turf, my own responsibility, I promote good, and I don't want others to promote evil or malice or ill will or all of those kind of things that tear apart our community.
But what you're telling me, David, is these 500 people's names in here are all evil. They're all people that didn't promote goodwill.
It's two different topics.
No, it's not two different copies. It's what you're saying is that anybody that had to do with that bridge, because CTRAN was a partner to it, or because economic development was a partner to it, because the chamber's a partner in it, because this party was a partner to it, all of those people are evil. They're all evil because they were signed on at the bridge. Those folks were given directions by two different governors, Governor of Oregon and Governor Washington. Hey, we need to straighten out the mess on I-5. So what they were doing, these innocent people in here were carrying out the orders of the governors of the state of Oregon or Washington to go in and see what they could do to do away with the congestion so that the people aren't out there setting every morning. Like this morning, they were backed up clear. The traffic was backed up clear to Falk Road again this morning on SR 500, clear into Hazeldale every morning. Those truckers that are supposed to be delivering all this services and goods to people can't get across there. They're not going to drive clear up to Timbuktu to deliver the stuff, David. So anyway, what I'm saying is, once the word gets out that you two don't want to have anything to do with these 500 people on here, you think that they're all bad and evil because they supported Columbia River Crossing, they work for it, where do you think you're going to go with your project?
I'm telling you the truth. That's putting words in our mouth, and it's not justified at all. We're just
I understand where you guys are coming from. So
that was a two-car accident on the other side in Delta Park.
It does make a difference.
I want you to know mm-hmm. where my allegiance lies. My allegiance does not lie with the special interests or those that are to somehow profit from some project. And not only that, but my role, I do not know better than the people. I will not assert my will over the people.
David, you can tell me
can
that
I
all
finish,
500
please?
Of these 100 of these people have are special interest people. They're on this list.
Can I finish? My responsibility is to speak for the people that elected me to do what they want to do. They voted. Those are the people on my list that I want to thank, and those are the ones that I represent. All of the history that's gone into this, much of it has been so divisive, and I don't want to open that wound. What I want to be able to do is say, let all of that go, And now let's look at moving forward in a new direction that will be hopefully embraced by our community.
Well, David, for 13 years, there was no divisive thing that had to do with that bridge until somebody found out a way that they could get elected as mayor or they could get elected as county commissioner. I'm a Christian. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christianity. I'm not a hypocrite. I tell people the truth. And that, and I don't try to treach the story. I don't try to modify the story to benefit me or anybody else. But like I say, the comments that you made here about these 500 people or signatories of this thing that are, were part of that is not Christian-like as far as I'm concerned. So
what comment was
we
that?
We can go forward with whatever you guys
want to
do.
What was the comment? What was the comment you're referring?
He made
no comment to the individuals, the list of names that you have.
He said that the people, we'll play this back. Print it out in black and white, and we'll give it to him so he can see what he said that basically refers to these people on here, that they did something wrong by supporting the project, by following the mandate that their governor's given by the departments of transportation from the states, doing what they were told and instructed to do, instructed by what the legislature told them to do, both in Oregon and Washington.
Find a new corridor.
Yeah.
That's what we told them to do.
Right.
Sounds like a new corridor.
Okay. A misunderstanding. You're connecting.
Gentlemen, we need to get past this and move on with county business.
I just want to make sure we don't leave something with a misunderstanding. Yeah. Because there's no implication here to any of these people on this list. The only reference that I have is those that want to come in, instead of voicing dissent, they somehow speak very disrespectfully and deal ill will and malice about the character of people on my Facebook page. Okay. That's a kind of behavior that does not build community. It has nothing to do with the people on that list.
What do you think was appropriate last night for the people out there when we were talking about the freeholders? People standing in the back of the room and screaming and hollered because they disagreed with something was said, David? Is that disrespectful?
I think we heard that from both sides.
Yeah, well,
and it was disrespectful.
But it doesn't make any difference which side it's on. That's disrespectful.
No, that's right.
You didn't see me. You didn't see me cheering for anybody or clapping or hooting, hollering for anybody's comments were made. That's not the appropriate place to do it. The people were sent there to listen to what was said so they could get good information to go out and talk to their constituents or their friends or neighbors, whatever. And I think a lot of that yesterday went awry last night.
It was a very non-productive meeting.
Anyway, okay.
Ed, do you have anything else that you'd like to bring up?
Let's see.
While you're looking, I'm waiting. Oh, he left the room.
No, I'm gonna go retrieve him.
No, I'll go ahead.
That's okay. We'll come back.
I'll bring it up
if you come up. I was going to ask what we're going to do with Joe Levesque. And Joe is still asking us to do a letter. Last time I talked to Joe about the letter, I said, you'd get a lot more response if you had your legislators do a letter than the county commissioners, because they're the ones who actually fund WSU. And he didn't get it, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Axel wrote a letter, if we just referred.
No.
We wrote the letter
to Jamie
Herrera.
For Joe, you mean?
Yeah.
So we wrote the letter to WSU Vancouver.
Yes.
And he wants a letter to WSU
Pullman. Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how best to handle that. Whether we would write a letter to our legislators. No. I asked Joe to do that, and I told Joe I would get him all the contact lists that he could do that. But I see a wasted movement and motion on our part that would be non-productive and wouldn't achieve what he really wants to achieve.
It would not be appropriate. I respect Joe. He's a veteran, and he's a patriot, and has lots of good intentions. We've done what we can in order to understand what he has there, but If he has a vision to share, which is completely outside of our jurisdiction, it's a federal project that he is trying to convey to federal authorities, federal representatives, then that would be his role to be able to market that to that jurisdiction. It is not our role to do that.
He's already done that. He's talked to her.
Yes.
He's talked to all of them.
And if there is a viable program there, then all we needed to do was to provide as much influence we can to help him to market something that we believe in and we understand is a workable program, then it would be appropriate to do so. What I've been able to see of what Joe has envisioned, it's good intentioned, but it is absolutely not viable. And so I cannot believe it, so I cannot ask other people to believe it.
So I have a sheet of all of our legislators on there. I wonder if I just shouldn't copy that and then give that to Joe and say, Joe, these are the people, these are all the contact information for these individuals. And Joe, you go right. What do you think? I've got that in my office. And
the original letter, did it go to? Did it go to Vancouver?
Yeah.
WSU at Vancouver?
Yeah, so originally we've already sent one letter to, but I believe it went to the Board of Regents. So it went pretty high up, not to the Chancellor. I might have that switched around, but the point is the same. And I've talked with Joe about this a lot. They wrote, you know, they talked to him, they said thanks, but no thanks. You know, for these reasons, this isn't within what we're doing or our focus right now. So his fear is that it's never gotten, I guess, maybe truly to the Chancellor. I've personally gone with him on a field trip over there, and we have sat down for quite a good visit with the professor who is responsible for their, not public affairs, but it's public affairs or public administration. The person that teaches classes that are similar, you know, that are in the same vein as what Joe would be proposing, which is a major congressional change in statutes and policy. And I felt like she did a good job working with him and talking with him. I mean, what he ultimately wants to get is access to the master's students to look into some of his ideas, but that's not up to us. And so where it's at is he wants us to re-engage the school and see if they will let him present his ideas to some of their students and whether they'll write up a report that says if his program would work, and if not, why.
He wants the students to do that.
Mm-hmm. He wants students or someone with the capability, you know, to really look into the ideas, to look into it. Where we are and where we've come down is that we don't want to send that second letter because, you know, we've already heard from WSUV. They've already responded to us, and the second our position thus far has been that if we send another letter, you know, we'll be following up on the same thing again.
Did you understand that Jamie Herrera wrote WSU?
I would have to call Ryan Haar or someone and see what their communication with them has been, but I know that Joe's been to Jamie Herrera Butler's office. I know that, you know, and in fact, I've tried to plug them in because really what he's talking about is major shifts in policy or changes at the federal level for federal housing and everything else. And so that's who, you know, he ultimately would need to vet his ideas with congressional staffers, really. People that work in those departments, anyhow. But I think he's run that course as well.
I will get that, a copy of all that contact information, and we'll give that to Joe and share with him. This is the best we can do because it's not in our category of being influential on the decision making for WSU Pullman.
Send him to Berkshire Hathaway.
Commissioner Medore, what do you have?
I am good.
Oh, Axel, do you have anything for the good of the order?
No, I just had a busy day.
It has been. Mr. Silliman, anything for the good of the order?
Nothing to report for you today, sir.
Good. Holly?
Nothing today, thank you.
Oh, Mark. He kept going.
Commissioners, I've got a couple of schedule questions. You know, we're approaching the end of the year. We have a lot of holidays and events coming up, first of which would be Tuesday, November 4th. Of course, we have the general election. That's the first Tuesday of the month when we typically have our hearings in the evenings. That conflicts with Greg Kimsey's use of the hearing room. So I would like to ask if the board would like to move that hearing to 10 a.m.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's number one. Veterans Day this year is on a Tuesday, November 11th.
Do we need to vote on that?
Pardon?
Or is it just simply consensus?
No,
is
it's, no, no, it's scheduling question.
Okay. Well, I just think, I'm thinking of Jennifer putting the action items in there. That's a decision.
Veterans Day is on November 11th, so that's a Tuesday. That means that we won't have a hearing on that Tuesday. So the question for the board is, do you want to just scrub the hearing for the week, or would you like to have it on the Wednesday?
So what activities are going on? Oh, that's a holiday.
It's a holiday. Yep.
I mean, congratulations, Ed. Thank you for your service.
There'll be a,
you
thank too. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you. You need to know
yes.
30 days in advance. So I would assume that if as you see the date moving forward, if we need to do some business around that date, that you would help us to be able to know what, that we should schedule something. Otherwise,
October.
I would think.
We're good. So we're going to eliminate November the 11th.
Right. But would you like to have a hearing on Wednesday? Because
no.
The county code does say that if a regular meeting falls on a holiday, such regular meeting shall be held on the next business day.
I don't think there's anything that we can't handle before or afterwards.
Okay. So, okay, so we'll scrub
if something
it.
Comes up, let us know.
We'll scrub
and November
okay.
4th will be done at 10 o'clock on that Tuesday.
Okay. Wednesday, November 26th, that's the day before Thanksgiving. Would the board like to have a full schedule that day? We're going to have a lot of people on vacation, and even members of the board might want to be elsewhere. So would you like us to clear Wednesday, November 26th? We have Board of Health, work sessions, and board time.
I think tentatively I'd like to suggest that we leave it open unless business requires us.
In other words, unscheduled.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if we absolutely must, we will.
Yeah,
right.
I okay. agree. Let everybody enjoy their family.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And then typically in December, towards the end of the month, we do not have consent hearings. So can the board agree that the last consent hearing of 2014 occur on Tuesday, December 16th?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Bring it, since you brought that up, I had a suggestion from another commissioner up in Shelton, and he recommended that instead of having a consent calendar, which is kind of misleading, that he recommended that we use the word action agenda instead of consent agenda, because those are the things that we're actually taking action on. Mm-hmm. And consent means that would imply that we're not necessarily taking action on that. Any
would
discussion?
You do that for the whole thing, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing, you call it an action item?
Instead of having consent agenda, we would call it an action agenda, because mm-hmm. those things we are taking action on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more telling to the community.
Mm-hmm. Just the terminology makes more sense to the citizens.
Have you ever heard it before? Do you want to bring it back for further discussion next week?
It's come up a few times just since I've been here, because in Calitz we did we had kind of a two. We had the consent agenda, which was just sort of those ministerial things, and then it was kind of a combination of the board and the clerk would decide kind of those higher those things that really do have a public interest.
Mm-hmm.
You could call it action agenda or the actual agenda, but we did have it. It was two separate things. So, you know, minutes, appointment letters, things that go out from the board that are, you know,
your
vouchers. That stuff was always on the consent.
And you're still doing action, though. You're accepting those minutes.
Yeah, but we.
And
yeah.
So actually, the whole thing could actually.
It could be.
And it tells the community that we are taking action on these things. Consent is. Not quite sure if you're just acknowledging it or if you actually, you've already given consent. You know, like some people say, well, you've already made up your mind.
Personally, Commissioner, yes. I have no difficulty calling it.
What do you think, Ed?
I don't. That's fine with me.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
We'll bring it back for reaffirming next week.
Yeah, put it on the schedule.
Sleep on it. Okay. I appreciate that. Anything else, Mark?
No, sir.
All right. I guess we're done. Thank you, everybody.